but Akram al-Ajuri was killed in Damascus, in Syria, at the same time or shortly thereafter, the timing of another strike on another very high-ranking PIJ, Palestinian Islamic Jihad leader, in Gaza. And it's the kind of near simultaneous killing of the top leadership of this organization, and men who had relevance in the organization and men who had the intent to carry out more violent acts of this organization, because while it is headquartered in Gaza, it is not abiding by the temporary ceasefire that the major Islamist political actor is abiding by in Gaza, and that is Hamas. And so both of these men were believed to be supportive and are underwriting violence against the state of Israel. And you can see that their death is what has led to what is now over 200 rocket attacks against Israel.
Give me a sense of why this is important to the U.S. or why it should be.
Absolutely. You know, you cannot think about the Middle East and these tit-for-tat escalation without the broader context. And the broader context is that Israel is increasingly feeling encircled by pro-Iran proxy groups, militias, and terrorists, not least of which are headquartered in Gaza. So on the Golan front, you have not only the Assad regime and Iran's myriad Shiite militias from both Iraq and Syria, but you also have Lebanese Hezbollah fighting in Syria. You have Lebanese Hezbollah basically controlling most of the state in Lebanon. And then, of course, to the south in the Gaza Strip, you have Hamas with this tenuous cold peace, as well as this other actor, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And Iran has the ability, through the provision of men, money, and munitions to either of these groups, to inflame either of these hotspots, which have basically encircled Israel conventionally over time. So any Israeli action against any of these fronts, the Syrian front, the Gaza front, or the Lebanon front, cannot be divorced from the larger equation of the larger Israeli-Iranian strategic competition in the Middle East and Iran's quest to kind of push into the Eastern Mediterranean. And that is going to have second, third order effects for U.S. policy, provision of arms, the missile defense work in the region, everything.
All right, so let's take a look at the missile defense work and a couple of the other elements that you just mentioned there. How does this impact what the U.S. is currently doing or may do?
So it depends a great deal on how the conflict spirals out of control, if at all. Could it be a tit-for-tat that leads to Hamas to revisit this cold peace, which would require the U.S. to put more pressure on Egypt to kind of bring about a ceasefire ASAP between Palestine and Islamic Jihad and Israel? Or would it require the U.S. To take more active measures to either bring the issue to the Security Council or stall at the Security Council, or to put the spotlight on the backer of Palestinian Islamic Jihad and try to get UN or European pressure on Iran? So there's lots of different vectors here. On the missile defense one, for instance, it's something that is a bit more able to continue absent this escalation. And I think that there is perhaps more an impetus now than ever before for Washington to tighten ties with the Israeli missile defense contractors and entities, given the success of Iron Dome. It's been reported here, for instance, that 90% of the rockets fired from Palestinian Islamic Jihad have been intercepted by Iron Dome.
Do you get the sense that the, the extremist activity or behavior by organizations like Islamic Jihad in that region are rising, growing, increasing? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
I think they are, and they have the reason to be a spoiler in ways that gain them ascendancy in the past, and that is to be a deterrent and a fail-safe to peace, and a fail-safe from peace. A deterrent to peace is that if you have this low-level ongoing escalation, it's hard to create the propitious political conditions for peace in that part of the world. And second, as kind of a fail-safe to peace, it can create a new normal. If this stuff is going on for so long, and if it becomes ingrained in the population or ingrained in the identity of the group, it's going to be hard to divorce it over time. And as the political conditions evaporate, fighting becomes the norm. Now, this is a group that has never actually wanted to engage in the political process. It doesn't engage in the governance of the Gaza Strip, for instance. That's more Hamas's role since 2007. So its function is to serve as a spoiler. And I think moving ahead with pressure on the patron of this group, Iran, you're likely to see this group try to jockey for increased relevance. You know, in a world where there's limited resources, this is going to be one out of many other partner, proxy, constellation of axis of resistance forces that Iran supports, that is going to say, I am worth your limited funds. And I think in these kinds of rocket attacks that have basically brought Israel to a standstill the other day, they are showing their value.
Anything I haven't asked you about that you think is important?
You know, I think in the long run, we are going to have to address the question of how does escalation by an Iran-backed group in the region get responded to? Could Israel respond in a different theater? Could the U.S. assist with such a response? These are both political and security questions, meaning that if Iran escalates through a proxy in Gaza, could the U.S. aid intelligence provision to Israel to respond against a pro-Iran group in Syria, as well as responding to it in Gaza? Is there a cross-domain or multi-theater response that Israel or America could be entertaining to stem these types of activities in the future? And I think in today's Middle East, when you have so many hotspots, basically with one or two actors controlling the spigot for violence, it makes sense to be able to have a multi-domain response. And thus far, you've seen it kind of be more stovepiped than integrated. So moving into a more messy Middle East, who knows if that response could be more integrated. But it's something worth thinking about now, that if Israel is responding to signal resolve, well, it's signaling resolve against the proxy. What about signaling resolve against the patron?
Behnam Bentaleblou is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, based in Washington. J.J. Green, WTOP News.